Blog Talk Radio.
Wrestling exhibition requires discretionary viewer participation.
Indeed it does. From the Polyester Pleasure Palace, on the shores of Lake Washington, or as close as I can get in my price range, it is the King of the Trailer Park, the Messiah of the Toothless, it's Jim, woo, by God, Melly. The name of the show is Wrestling Road Stories. Back when the beer was cold, the rats were hot, people believed it was real, and we sold out everywhere. Everywhere! Yes, Wrestling Road Stories, 4 out of 5 trailer parks approved. Of Wrestling Road Stories. Each and every Wednesday here on the PW Torch live cast, 2 o'clock where I'm at, 5 o'clock on the East Coast, and around the world at pwtorchlivecast.com. Don't forget, you can follow me on the Twitter machine at Jim Valley. That's J-I-M-V-A-L-L-E-Y. Why? Because I like you. You can also add me on Facebook at Jim Valley. Just send me a message, let me know you listen to the show, and also, most importantly, don't be a webcam girl. No thank you. Don't need any of that ooginess in my life. My life is creepy enough. Thank you very much. So be sure and do that. Hey, coming up on the show today, speaking of everywhere and airware, they are everywhere these days, talking about the gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, the originals, the OGs. Certainly they have the Netflix show that's been renewed for a second season. And also recently, the gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling were backstage at WWE No Mercy. We'll talk about who they met and things like that. We'll also talk about their experiences back in the 80s with the gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. We're going to talk to two of my favorites. We're going to talk to Roxy Astor, the Park Avenue Knockout, and we are also going to be talking to Sunny, the California Girl. So stay here, and we'll talk some GLOW history with two of the biggest stars from GLOW in the history of GLOW. We'll talk about what it was like living in Las Vegas, taping the show, and also, you know, back in the 80s, even though GLOW was kind of a goofy, almost parody-like show of wrestling, they actually had to keep kayfabe. So we'll talk to them coming up next here, Wrestling Road Stories with Jim Valley here on the PW Torch Livecast.
Don't just listen to PW Torch's brand of wrestling coverage. Read it, too, every day at pwtorch.com. Join me Monday nights for my live coverage of Raw, Tuesday nights for my live coverage of SmackDown, Sunday nights for my live coverage of WWE pay-per-views, and keep up on the news and read exclusive editorials and special features every day at pwtorch.com.
Be sure to sign up for the PW Torch VIP at pwtorch.com/goVIP. All of that stuff and more, including my Total Chaos radio shows from the 2000s, like I think it was 2000, 2002, something like that. And I talked to everybody from the Attitude Era, people from WCW, people from WWF, people from the 80s and 90s, so many interviews. It was crazy doing all that stuff, because it was just this little tiny radio station in Portland, Oregon. It was this, seriously, between you and I, it was this crappy little house that had a terrible rat problem. And each and every week I did, I don't know how I did it, but we put together a pretty darn good show. I'm pretty proud of it. One thing I wanted to mention that was kind of funny. I should have wrote his name down. I apologize. But somebody asked me, they'd heard this show here, and they asked me about They asked me about why my voice is different now versus the Attitude Era show that I did, Total Chaos Radio, that you can hear if you're a VIP member. And that was a good question, I thought. One, it was the Attitude Era, so I tried to make it a very attitude-heavy show, so I kind of was a little more edgier in the way I presented things, the music, the presentation, the intros, the outros, all of that. So I was very forceful in the way I talked, and it had more attitude. And now here we are in 2017, and let's face it, I'm old and tired. Just old and tired. Don't have the energy to do that anymore. God, I can just barely make it through this show. So there. So that's why it sounds different, but a great question, I thought. So anyway, it's Jim Valley. It's Wrestling Road Stories each and every Wednesday here on the PW Torch livecast. And I want to take you back to one of the most memorable shows from the 1980s. Now, I don't know about you, but I, unfortunately, when I was a kid, took my wrestling entirely too serious. Entirely too serious. And I would see Glow and the gorgeous ladies of wrestling, and I would think to myself, look at that. Look what they're doing, mocking wrestling like that. Oh my God, they're going to expose the business. You know, I was like, you know, 14-year-old Luthez or whatever the hell. You'd think, given, you know, being through puberty and all that back then, that I, you know, the hormones would have taken over the wrestling purist in me, but no. But now I look back and I watch the Glow on YouTube and the documentary and stuff, and I have a better appreciation for what they did and what they accomplished. And especially since I got to host a seminar with the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling and see their induction this past year at the Cauliflower Alley Club. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some other things. But joining us now, one of the gorgeous ladies of wrestling from the 80s. I'm not sure exactly what season she is. She was in. She's Sunny, the California girl. Sunny, what season did you come in on the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling?
I was season 3 and 4, Jim.
Okay. Now I assume you still do some modeling, but you were a model back then as well, right?
I was an actress, model, singer. And that's why in the ring, you would see me sing the knock knock jokes. So, but I was primarily an athlete before I went into wrestling. I competed in track running and relay running against boys and then men, if you will.
Now,
so,
there
yeah.
was an ad. Did you just answer the ad like all the other girls?
No, this was much different. My father was involved in wrestling. I was raised at the Olympic Auditorium. Pretty much with a lot of the wrestlers, like Dick Beyer would come for dinner to our family's house. My father was friends with a lot of the wrestlers, Freddie Blassie, Classy Blassie. I was a wee little girl. I wore the Destroyer's mask when I was 3 months old in diapers.
But
yeah, the original
the
Destroyer's mask.
I know.
Yeah, it was so cool. That was, you know why, Jim? Because at the CAC, at the Cauliflower Alley, I like to call it reunion because that is what it is for everyone who loves wrestling. It's great. You get to fan out, even though you're in the business, to meet, you know, these wonderful legends full circle, like face-to-face. And he signed my Polaroid picture of me in diapers, the old black and white Polaroid. I seen him and he signed it. I was like, oh, I was literally, it was just a most amazing time in my life. Just to meet Dick Beyer again and say, hey, this was me. And now I get to meet him, you know, again, because my childhood, of course, you know, came and went. So it's amazing. But yeah, my father, my mother, my brother, and myself, I was like 5 years old with the memories that I've had to watch all the greatest come to the ring, Andre the Giant and Freddie Blassie, like I said, Iron Sheik, the many greats that have graced the Olympic Auditorium. So I wasn't a newcomer. I was pretty familiar with the wrestling world, but how I got into GLOW was my father decided to turn on the TV, like probably all of you out there, and seen women's wrestling on television. He's like, what's this? You know, his attitude at first was kind of like, this is funny. This is like hee-haw or laughing, which is kind of what we were with wrestling. But he was watching it, and he called me out of my bedroom and said, come here, honey, you know, because I was auditioning for certain things. And he said, sit down and watch this with me. Look at this. This is women. So I was watching it, and I seen all these different sizes, shapes of women and in character. I was like, wow, this is crazy. Look at this. This is fun. This is cool. But I thought I couldn't do it, you know, because it's wrestling. I'm like, no, they're going to kill me. I was this thin little, you know, like swimwear model. I was doing some modeling then. And at the end of the show, it flashed, like, I guess it's auditioning in Hollywood for new GLOW Girls at the end of the show. And he said, you should do this. Send in your headshot. And I looked at my dad. I'm like, really? Are you kidding me? But I did, and sure enough, I got called in for the audition, and there were so many girls there, Jim. Oh, my God. There was like, I don't know, 400 women all over the planet from all different spectrums were in there, and I'm like, there's no way. I'm not going to. There, no, forget it. But I hung in there, and sure enough, I got asked to go to Vegas for the trials of the tryouts, which is a six-week training. You have to go through combat training. It was military. It was tough training for everyone who wonders and say that we weren't trained properly or we weren't this. Everyone has their views, but I will say the training was unbelievable. I mean, you have to pass that to even get in to be accepted for one procedure. That doesn't mean you're in GLOW yet. So you had military push-ups. We did like 200 a day. We did hyperextensions off this wrestling group, the wrestling ring that we were going to end up being in. And we ran the track around the warehouse, which was probably, I don't know, 5 miles. We had to put our arms up above our head and not release them. They had to cover our ears, that type of training, running through the tires, all sorts of stuff, trampoline training. We went into that, and then we went through our gymnastics training, and then we went in the ring and started doing our rolls and tumbles and run the ropes. But throughout this, they watched us and analyzed us to give us our character. That's how the director and writer decided to give us our character, by watching us as we went through this. And little by little, a lot of the girls dropped out. They didn't make the cut. They didn't make the cut. So there was 36 of us that made the cut, and that's it. So
we're talking with Sunny, the California girl. We've got to take a quick break here, Sunny, and I do want to talk about your character and the famous Hollywood legend that inspired your character, Sunny the California Girl. We'll talk about that and much more. It's Wrestling Road Stories. It's Jim Valley here on the PW Torch Livecast.
I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown, with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
Jim Valley, PW Torch Livecast, and we're talking GLOW this week with Sunny the California Girl. Now, Sunny, you said that they watched you as they put you through the paces. At what point did they talk to you about your character?
It was before we actually started getting serious in the ring and all the girls were let go or fired in that degree. So, you know, it was probably 3 weeks into getting serious, and they told us what characters we were. Now, I was born and raised from California. I was born in Los Angeles, so I'm a true native. I came to the auditions as a blonde. I was sunny in every step of the way because I was tan, and I used to go to the beach all the time. I would roller skate, rollerblade, you name it, surfed. So for my character, when they said sunny, I thought that's great. I didn't have to really change too much like a lot of the girls. I did have to put on 10 pounds, so I had to eat protein every day at the Riv at the buffet. So I met that buffet every day, and he was over me, Sonny, eat your pasta, eat, 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 eat. And then I also had to lift brutal weights at Eiferman's gym there. So, you know, we had to do certain things to make it, you know, to get into character. But when they said I had to, they asked me what I did. They said, what was your past like? What was your love? And I said, I love to sing. I love to sing. I wanted to be a lounge singer. I had an opportunity, but I kind of chased love, so I didn't do that. But they said, they came back, and they were mumbling back and forth to each other, and I was like, uh-oh, this is scary. And they said, knock-knock jokes. Knock-knock jokes? What do I do with knock-knock jokes? They go, do you know knock-knock? I go, I've heard of knock-knock. Sure, of course. They said, well, how about singing a knock-knock joke? I'm like, you're kidding. So, yeah, that's how that got incorporated in the ring when I grabbed the mic to, you know, piss off my opponent, if you will, and sing a knock-knock joke to make them mad, whoever I was wrestling at that time. So, like Corporal Kelly.
Your character was based on a famous Hollywood starlet.
Yes, Jane Mansfield, who the director was married to at the time of her death. That was her last husband, and they had Tony Simber, who is the male identical to her. That was their son together, and he was our referee at times and also Nature Boy or Jungle Boy in GLOW. At times he would come out as Nature Boy, I think it was. So, yeah, he looks just like I had the mole and everything. But as far as myself, yeah, Matt said to me one day, he's like, you remind me of my ex-wife. And I'm like, okay, who's that? He said, Jane Mansfield. I'm like, what? She's beautiful. I loved her in Marilyn Monroe, you know, because I was 20. So I think I was 20, 21 at the time. He told me this. And I'm like, oh, I know that I definitely, but me, really? Aren't they shorter and more wider and, like, you know, more curvy? And he said, no, Jane was just like you. And he showed me pictures. And I was, like, floored. I was like, wow, we're almost, like, identical. It was really, really trippy. So, yeah,
so Matt,
the molding from that started off, and it continued even after GLOW. So, yeah,
Matt,
it was something.
I do have to say this. Matt is a charming fellow. He gave a presentation at Cauliflower Alley and did about 45 minutes. He's a tremendous storyteller. He's done so many projects in Hollywood, and he's, what is he, 80-something now?
Yes. I believe he's 82, I want to say.
Yeah, so he's 80s, yeah. But doesn't look it and doesn't act it. He's sharp as a tack and very energetic. And Jane Mansfield tragically died in a car crash in 1967. So Jane Mansfield has been passed away, unfortunately, for 50 years.
Yes.
And one of the things that I was told as managing the session, and I think maybe you might have been the first person to bring this to my attention before the people in charge did, but even though she's been gone for 50 years, you around Matt, mainly because of his current wife, apparently she gets upset about mentioning a woman who's been passed away for, did I mention she's been passed away for 50 years? Anyway, you're not allowed to talk about Jane Mansfield. Jane Mansfield was off the table when talking with Matt Simber, and I just thought that was...
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too, you know. However, we did go to a screening about 3 weeks ago, one of his films that he was honored for doing, an amazing film. I think it was The Wicked Sea Rich from the Sea or something like that. It was brilliant. That was his film that he had directed, and he's getting many accolades for it. So we went to the screening, and Jane was mentioned. He mentioned her himself. And in the panel that he was sitting up there for. So it was pretty nice. Yeah. So maybe there is something, there's a breakthrough there, because I believe, just like Marilyn Monroe, she should always be honored because she was brilliant at her craft. And even though Marilyn shined bigger, they were best friends, by the way. I know the whole history because I had to study the books after Glow was over. And Matt himself probably was not even aware of this, but because of Glow, it continued on with the next person that I met and ended up having my own wrestling show called Battling Beauties, where I went on to be a Jane Mansfield type wearing Raquel Welch's 1,000 years BC uniform. I headlined and starred on the strip, a little bit off the strip, if you will. It was called the Kona Hotel, where we had Battling Beauties, where I trained 12 girls, and Benny Espinoza is his real last name, but Benny Diamond back then, who was our referee in Glow, built the wrestling ring for me. And what this was straight pro wrestling, but it was oiled up, which made it very difficult. It wasn't oil wrestling, for anybody who's listening. It's pro wrestling. We were doing big maneuvers, straight wrestling, but oiled up. That was just to get the male, you know, to pack the seats, you know. And I came out to sing I Wish They All Could Be California Girls. I was in this white tux bikini. It was hot. And I got to actually sing on stage. And that was awesome. And then from there, the legacy lived on. And I became bigger from that end. Because I returned to Vegas after my dad passed away. At the end of Glow, you don't see me anymore because my dad was fighting. He was waiting for a heart donor, but he ended up dying from cancer. They found cancer, and my dad never got to see me wrestle. Okay, so he was in the hospital, and Matt calls me out of the ring because he said, "Sonny, you're not focused. You got to go," because I couldn't admit that my dad was ill. He goes, "Go see your dad. You got to go. Go fly down there to Long Beach." And he was at Long Beach St. Mary's Hospital, and I watched my dad fight for 5 days in that hospital. And I told him, I said, "Daddy, I got to wrestle." He goes, "I know, honey." He goes, "I'm so proud of you." And, that right there meant the world to me and spoke volumes. So right there, that was it. I mean, it's funny how you get – they ask you, how did you get into wrestling? Well, I was always involved in it in some way. In the roller derby, I might add, my mother, after the wrestling, we go see roller derby. So we're always at either or downtown in Los Angeles. It was like 3 or 4 days a week we were there. So that became my life. And I knew I was going to do either one, somehow, some way, you know. But I didn't think to what extent and today how the impact of Glow would take over after 31 years and how we have Afterglow, which is amazing. The Afterglow fan party cruises we're doing for all our fans that attend these cruises. It's amazing, and we're very thankful and blessed to have this. And thank you, Roxy Astor, for starting the first one at Acme Theater in Hollywood, where this was a spinoff for the Afterglow Fan Party Cruises. And we're going on our next one March 4th through the 11th. And anybody who wants to join us, go to afterglow@sea.com and join us. There'll be probably, I think, 11 or 12 Glow Girls on board.
Well, and we had it, and I can attest to the passion of the Glow fans at Cauliflower Alley, because I was talking with, you had, 20-some of the former Glow girls there at Cauliflower Alley? 22, I think?
I actually had 22. I got 22 there. Yeah, that was like pulling teeth, by the way, for some. But, yeah, because there was actually 67 of us, if you can imagine, 67 girls, and I reached out, Jim, to everyone almost that I could to get them there. And unfortunately, to me, the ones who are there are the ones who matter. And I hate to say that, but, you know, because it's such a big thing to be honored. It's such, to me, this the Cauliflower Alley Club, and a shout out to Brian Blair and Carl R. and David Buckler and you, everyone who was there, making such a big difference and an impact in this world, you know. And I tried to tell the girls, this is the greatest thing we can achieve. It's awesome to be in that room with all of our wrestling peers, great legends, and you name it. And here we're getting honored, you know. And but hey, 22 of us were there, and that was the best. And we had a blast, didn't we, Jim?
I think especially on the panel, that was fun. I was talking with Brian Blair just casually at some point during the CAC, and someone brought up the your brought up glow and stuff. And he, again, getting back to my original point about the passion of your glow fans, 100 tickets by fans to see you guys, Garrett women, to see the glow girls were sold to come to Cauliflower Alley. 100 fans wanted to
come
and see you all get inducted. I mean, that's for a convention the size of Cauliflower Alley, you know, it's not the biggest thing in the world. I mean, it fills a good sized ballroom, but you know, 100 fans is, you know, probably 20% or something of the whole convention, I would say, something around that level.
Yeah, I think they wanted to pay, you know, no more than like 400 is usually. I think 1 year we had 5 and that was over capacity, way over capacity. And I think that was, it's all great. As many, I wish we could get more even. But that was, it was amazing. And we, like I said, very truly honored and blessed. We love our fans. And a lot of our fans are family. You know, because they go on our cruises with us and they're up close and personal with us for 7 days on this cruise. They hang out with us. They see us in the morning when we're grumpy before I have my coffee.
I've seen that.
Right? Got to have my coffee. I'm a bear. Sunny's cloudy, most definitely. But and it's really cool. They get to know us and they realize, hey, these girls are really a lot of fun. We're just as fun as we are, like, on the show. You know, I'm true to my character for the most part. Even though I'm brunette, I have my sunny moments. And, you know, Roxy and I are kicked back and forth, her and I. It's funny. We switch roles. She was a redhead on the show, and I was blonde. I said, now you're blonde, and I'm brunette, and you get the blondness. Ha ha, you know. But we're fun together, and we're trying to keep Glow alive and Afterglow alive out there. And that's what we're doing. You know,
well, I think you've really benefited from the lack of kayfabe in wrestling. I mean, in all honesty, you know, if the Cauliflower Alley Club still was that closed group of grumpy old shooters and Hollywood types, they probably would not have let you in just because of the nature of the show. But I think now that time has passed and attitudes about protecting the business have passed. And I think, you know, now that people, you know, are more accepting, I mean, were the Glow Girls the greatest technical wrestlers of all time? No. But as I mentioned at your introduction, you know, you guys had to keep kayfabe like your more traditional counterparts. You guys didn't always have the best working conditions like your traditional counterparts.
Right.
And, you know, you guys always didn't make the most money, very much like your traditional counterparts. So even though Glow, by and large, was that hee-haw or laugh-in non-traditional wrestling product, I think that many of the things that you and your compatriots had to go through does make you worthy of being in the Cauliflower Alley Club and being inducted this past year.
Absolutely, I agree. And not to mention, you know, way back when we did have some of the Glow Girls that would attend it. I think it was, I don't want to say the very first CAC with the old staunchy old-time wrestlers back in, and that would be Debbie Dallas, Killer Tomato, was way back when. In fact, she's on one of those boards at the CAC, and she's there with one of the other famous wrestlers. And she's like, you know, Sonny, I was way back, the first one back then. And I was like, wow. You know, so there has been some Glow Girls that have graced the days back in. I've been there for 8 years, but there's been some that have been there forever. And now that don't attend as of late is the problem. So some of them fell off. But I think what we are, and here's how I like to put it, because, again, we get slammed for not being the most technical as wrestlers, as some of the indies will say about us, but I think they're saying that because we were on TV. There's got to be some jealousy, and I would be too if I worked in the ring for 25 as an indie wrestler, not to be able to be on television to get that limelight that we had in the 80s. But we had to actually perform the maneuver. We had to know what angles, just like WWE does today, how they have to work where the cameras are. They have actually, we counted the cameras because we were there live recently, which we'll get to next. It was awesome. But they have the overhead, you know, cams. They have everything. We had, I think, 2 cameramen and at times only 1. And we had to play and work to that side of the camera And no, so we've got our character, because we were really characterized. If we fell out of our character for a minute, it was on. It was trouble. And Matt would not like that. We had to go 100%. So we've got our acting, we've got our maneuvers, and we had to do the slapstick in between. Plus, we had commercials that we had to perform. And then we had our messages that went out through commercials, whether it be say no to drugs or no bullying. We had all these other focus things where I haven't saw that in any other show yet. And that's the thing that's different about us. Yes, we were hee-haw, we were funny. We made it a little campy back then because that was the 80s. You know what I mean? And it worked because our ratings were just as high as WWF. And that's where they hated us because we all of a sudden, us glow girls, when they thought we were not going to make it anywhere, we surpassed them. And that was the greatest thing. So, and you know, again, now 31 years later, here we are with a bigger fan base than ever due to social media. And now the Glow Netflix being on in our honor, which is truly amazing. And we got to meet all the Netflix Glow girls and kind of formed a friendship, a bond. And that was the thing that I think wasn't planned, but it was, you know, it happened at the WWE here that we just went to, and that was amazing.
Yeah,
we're like, oh my God.
let's hold off on that. We're waiting for Roxy Asher to come to give us a call. She's dealing with a couple of things on Park Avenue, and she'll call here in a couple of minutes. But I wanted to hold off on those stories until Roxy calls us. We're talking with Sunny the California Girl. It's the PW Torch Livecast, Jim Valley and Wrestling Road Stories. We're going to take a quick break. Going to be right back. I want to talk a little bit about the working conditions of Glow and where the women lived, who'd you have to stay with, and just a couple of other things like that. We'll talk about the gorgeous ladies of wrestling from back in the day here on Wrestling Road Stories on the PW Torch Livecast with Jim Valley.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Prichard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
PW Torch Livecast, Jim Valley on Wrestling Road Stories each and every Wednesday here, pwtorchlivecast.com. We're taking you back to the 80s and the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. Now, you guys filmed the show, Sonny, in Las Vegas. Where did you guys room? And you guys had to keep kayfabe in the sense that the good girls room with the good girls and the bad girls room with the bad girls, right?
Correct, yes. Even on our tour, when we toured the Mid-South and Midwest, we were on a tour bus, all 36 of us, and we did always we had to keep it that way where we were enemies. But behind closed doors, you know, that was a different story. We formed some friendships and bonds. I myself didn't because I was the director's girlfriend. imagine that. For a little bit, and it wasn't like what most people think. It was just, it was quite interesting.
For clarification, who's the director?
Matt Simber.
Oh, it was Matt. Okay, I didn't know. I was not aware that you dated.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I lived at the Glow House, and that Glow House was Joan Collins' house. It was beautiful. That's where we filmed, where you see a lot of our skits. You'll see Godiva laying in the bed across doing her Godiva chocolates commercial. That is Joan Collins' house. It was the most amazing house off the golf course off Tropicana Avenue. And we all started out in apartments, though, outside of the Riviera Hotel, where there was four girls to an apartment. And the living conditions were fine. I mean, they were nice apartments. I think they're torn down now, but they were really nice back then. The accommodations were good. The free food. Yeah, you know, buffets. You guys know how the buffets are in Vegas. That's what we ate, unless we took our regular, you know, pay and go eat elsewhere. At times we did. When we first got up there, the thing I forgot to mention, Matt gave us gambling money to get that out of our system. He said, okay, girls, I want you all to know, because you all come from different places, you're in Vegas, And I don't want you guys up against the gambling machines gambling. I want you in that ring working. I want you guys to be focused. I want Bob. So he gave us money in the beginning. He said, here, go gamble your hearts out. Get it out of your system. And that's what we did. And some of us really didn't care for it anyway, you know, but it was funny. It was a lot of fun for us at first, you know. Of course, the ones that were over, you know, legal age to gamble. There was a couple of the girls that weren't. I think there's three or four that are younger than some of us. So, yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. The apartments were four to an apartment, and they were like all, if they were heel or baby face, bad or good, if you will. And that's how it was, you know. And then we'd all go to the buffet and eat and then return. We had training all day. We were in that warehouse. Ours was not at the Rivera Hotel. Our training was at this warehouse, which I think it was an old Zodi's building. So that was where we filmed, and we packed the audience. And I think we had 300 audience in there for taping, for live taping. And that was at the end of the week. So we trained all week, and then we had our live tapings on the weekend. And we had 2 days off, and we were allowed to travel if we wanted. Like, I'd go see my mom in Cypress, California, and come back and return. You had 2 days, and whatever you did in that 2 days, you got to make sure you're good and you stay within your boundaries, because we were restricted. Like the Glow Netflix, that's not what happened. We didn't go do drugs, or there was no drugs allowed in Glow. Matt would kick us out. Matt would kill us, in fact, if we did any of that it shows in the Glow Netflix. He himself was against drugs, never touched a drug. So anybody who watches Glow Netflix, I'm here to say it's not like how it was for us girls. The only thing that I can compare it was just the closeness, the sisterhood of Glow, as we are. But a lot of girls didn't hang out with me. They were afraid to tell me things because they thought I'd tell Matt. And, you know, unfortunately, number one rule, which I never have again, is date a director, because it's the hardest thing. He would push me. I couldn't get handstands right, so I had to do handstands until I got my legs straight up in the air and perfect up against the wall. And I had all these girls staring at me one day when he pushed me. He said, Sonny, you're not doing it right. Get your legs up. And I had to do it 100 times. It was so embarrassing. I swear I thought I was going to faint. You know, it was just he pushed me harder and more because he said, they're going to be looking at you. Oh, God, that was horrible. So, but we had a good time. And I think just from just being around Matt, I was blessed to meet certain people like Frank Sinatra. I got to meet him and a few other wonderful legends. And just being in Las Vegas, we got to meet all of us girls, Engelbert Humperdinck and many more. O.J. Simpson, I think, was even there. And then we had, there's pictures with O.J. We had Trump. We traveled to New York and Trump Towers. Trump loved Glow. Who would have thought? But, you know, you'll see all those pictures surface on social media. But we had a great past with a lot of legends.
You reminded me about this. One of the things that always surprised me is that some people don't seem to understand. Jackie Stallone came on as supposedly the owner or the manager or whatever she was. And that was just a storyline. That wasn't real. She was just acting as the role as the leader, the matriarch or something of Glow.
Exactly. Yeah, she was the manager of us good girls. Yeah, we love Jacqueline Stallone. She's the one that got me into astrology, in fact, because she would pull up a chair and a table in the middle of the ring and say, sit down, girls, let me read your palms. Let me tell you about astrology. It was crazy, and I'm like, I loved it. I was intrigued. You know, really special lady. We also had, not to mention Frank Stallone on the sidelines of the ring. Frank Stallone had a crush on Hollywood. So he was there every night or almost every weekend watching her. It was so funny. And then we had Sylvester Stallone once in a while and Sasha. I think it's Sasha. I forgot. Is it Sasha or Sage?
Sage.
Was there. He was a wee little boy, cutest little boy, and loved us Glow Girls. Yeah, it was pretty cool, and we were all heartbroken when he passed away. So, yeah, we had some, you know, heavy hitters, and not to mention other, you know, celebrities that probably we weren't even aware of because we were too focused. And from the beginning to the end to know who was out there in the audience. But Jacqueline Stallone would bring a lot of her friends and naturally they were big, you know. Yeah, we were, and then Aunt Kitty was the Bad Girls manager. Aunt Kitty is a relative of Matt Simber. So, and that was heartbreaking when she passed away. She was larger than life. She'd come out with her umbrella and beat all the good girls with it.
So one of the things that struck me about the documentary, and if you've never researched GLOW, you've seen GLOW and you've never looked into the behind the scenes, the name that immediately comes to mind is David McLean. Now, when I had my radio show, I used to do a wrestling radio show in like 2001, and David tried to do the Women of Wrestling. I think he's trying to do it again. He's done a million wow, pow, how, now, brown cow, whatever, a million Women of Wrestling promotions. And
right.
I tried to get an interview with him, and he would not talk to me. And I didn't want any details. I just wanted a fun interview with David McLean, and he would not talk about GLOW. He didn't participate in the documentary. What is the deal with David McLean? Why does he seem to have a not the best reputation among many of the GLOW alumni, if you will?
Well, I think they had a falling out in the beginning when Matt had came on, and that was the beginning in 1986. So he was pretty much out when we were in third and fourth season. I think it was 87. He was out. He was gone. Nothing to do with GLOW anymore. So, in fact, I even reached out to him. I went to a WOW show, which he does have. The WOW show, I think, is okay now and going strong. I mean, we appeared at one of his venues in Los Angeles, and I told him about the award. I said, you are actually getting awarded as well because you were a big part of GLOW, and you were at the forefront. And he's like, okay, well, yeah, I'll see. Well, naturally, he wasn't there. He didn't attend. So I honestly don't know what is going on, you know, what his feelings are. He doesn't really say, and he doesn't share it. Matt's point of view is like, it is what it is. That's where he was. He messed up here and he messed up there, and that's it, you know. So, yep. But
yeah,
he's doing good with this WOW currently, right? I mean, I think he is. Hopefully he has success. You know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wish him nothing but the best. One more question. Obviously, he split off. I think, was it the second season? I think Matilda the Hun and a few other of the women split off, and they formed POW or something like that.
Yes.
Was there animosity there between some of the former GLOW girls and the current GLOW girls for a while? Did that take a while to heal, or did people just think it was business?
They just thought it was business. I don't believe there was any bad blood with the other GLOW girls. No, and then as time went by, you know, everything healed, because I honestly even forgot there was POW at times until they brought it up to me again. And I was like, oh, that's right. So-and-so wrestled for POW. Or so-and-so, one of the GLOW girls, you know, wrestled for, you know, yeah. I was like, oh, great. That's cool. That's good. No, I don't think there is. There wasn't any animosity at all, you know. And as we get older, there isn't, you know.
Yeah,
like I said, I think I myself forget a lot with 8 concussions. I'm like, oh, God, what?
Oh, God. Well, hang on. Well, let's take another break. We'll come back. Talk to Sunny the California Girl. Roxy Astor should be joining us here shortly as we take you down memory lane. There's a lot of stuff to talk about GLOW and the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. Coming up next on Wrestling Road Stories on the PW Torch Livecast.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
Jim Valley, Wrestling Road Stories, each and every Wednesday here on the PW Torch Livecast. And be sure to download it or listen live at pwtorchlivecast.com. Sunny the California Girl joining us live here. And did you get your 8 concussions from just wrestling? How long did you wrestle and you got 8?
Well, I had actually, I would say, about 5 concussions from wrestling. The others were previous, because I was in a car accident, and then I fell out of my mom's car. Yeah, that's another story. So yeah, I cracked the street with my head. Thank God I got a hard head. But yeah, those kind of catch up to you from pile. I was always pile driven by Beastie, the Road Warrior.
Yeah.
On tour you have the same match. So that was our match, and I went down, and I was taken out in Biloxi, Mississippi, in the hospital for one of the most deadliest pile drivers. I think she's got it on, on her DVD or whatever. It's on there. It was horrifying. Yeah, my hands didn't come down in time when she dropped me. My neck and head, of course, hit the mat, and I went out. I blacked out. They thought I broke my neck. But I turned apparently just with the split second that we have, just to turn a little bit, and I saved it. I saved myself from a broken neck. But I went out in the stretcher and went to the hospital. And you know what's funny is the guys, the paramedics were around me, they're like, I hope you make a lot of money for all this. And I'm like, if you only knew. You know, for the injuries and stuff that we suffer, it's like nowadays the girls are making some good money. Boy, but honestly, I'm actually coming out of retirement, if you will. I wrestled, I think, 7 years ago. Hollywood and I wrestled, and I won 2 out of 3 matches. But since then, I've ran the ropes and did some things, but haven't did anything really major other than when we went to Wisconsin. And I'm going to be working for Powerhouse Pro Wrestling, and this will be in Madison, Wisconsin, and Iowa and Illinois through the 25th to the 27th of December. It's like a Christmas tour. And I'll be there with Adam Rose, Sabu, Godfather, Boogeyman. I will be wrestling Stacy Shadows. So, you know, that is something to come out and see. Sunny back out of retirement, back into wrestling. And I look forward to it, guys, because when I went to Wisconsin and we got in the ring with Kia Stevens and Stacy Shadows, my adrenaline was going. And I think I gave Chaz Moretti, the manager of Stacy Shadows, a sunny burn on the ropes. And a shout out to Chaz Moretti, by the way. It's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Chaz. Love ya. And my adrenaline was going as if, like, riding a bike. I wanted to do this again. I wanted to get back in. Oh, my God. But I just realized I can't do anything crazy. I can't do any high-fly maneuvers off the third turnbuckle. I don't do that anyway because I'm 5'10", so I took a lot of the bumps, you know. I would do a lot of the lifting, the fireman carries and stuff like that. So this will be interesting, but I look forward to it. So, and if you want to go to pro wrestling, Powerhouse Pro Wrestling, go to face.com/PHWI. They're out of Wisconsin. So I look forward to doing this. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Beastie the Road Warrior may make an appearance. Just heard about that.
Interesting. Well, we'll be sure to let me know as we get closer, and we'll be sure to mention it on the show again. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Now,
will do.
You have a daughter, right? Is that right?
Yes, I actually have 2 daughters, and
okay,
I have
two
grandsons. Yep.
Okay. So, like, for example, Bill Goldberg, in his prime wrestling, his young son, who I think is 10 or something like that, didn't get to see him wrestle. So, like, are any of your kids or family members who maybe didn't get to see Sonny the California Girl in the 80s, are they going to go and see you now in Wisconsin? Is that a reason for you getting back in the ring?
No, it isn't. And my older daughter was at the sidelines in GLOW, by the way. I was, if you want to compare the GLOW Netflix, I was the mom. I think there was another one, Big Bad Mama had kids, but mine was the littlest girl that was there. She was about 4 years old, and she would sit on the bad girl's side waiting for Nanuchka to come out. She loved Nanuchka. She did not love mom's character. So I didn't take it to offense. I'm like, okay. Yeah, she loved Nanuchka. She lived and ironically, we all went to Disneyland together, so that was kind of cool because my older daughter is 36, believe it or not. I was the young mom. And so on Netflix, what I mean is Betty Gilpin in the character on Netflix. She's has a baby, if you see. So anyway, my other daughter, Shayna, watched the DVDs I have here. I have DVDs, I have even the original VHSs of some of my matches. So I've made her sit and watch some of them. I have a quite an array. Okay. I think I've got like 12 matches on one, and then the VHS, my very first ones on VHS. So I made her sit down and watch them.
Hey, Shani, real quick,
she has a familiarity of it, and she was in the ring herself. Shane, cool. I trained her, by the way. I trained probably about 8 girls. This was about 5 years. Well, no, maybe it's been 6 years, somewhere around there, at a ring in Los Angeles for promotion. So I trained these girls, got them ready, and got her in the ring.
I only got a couple more minutes, but joining us now is the Park Avenue Knockout, one of your best friends, Roxy Astor. Hey, Roxy, we only got a couple of minutes. I wanted to touch base because I see on the Facebook that you and Sonny, and if you are the Glow Girls, I wanted to save this story before you when you got on.
Hi, Jen. How are you? Hi, Sonny.
Hi, Roxy. It's about time.
How
what
are
happened
you?
To 12?
It's okay.
Love you, girl.
You know what? I'm actually here at my house with, have you heard of Marilyn Gigliotti from Clerks?
Sure.
Okay, you want to say hi to her?
Well, no, let's. I only got a few more minutes. The show is timed out. They're going to cut me off.
Say hi to Jim.
Oh. Marilyn, hello.
Hi, okay?
What am I supposed to say? That I get older and she stays the same age? Is that what I'm. What am I supposed to do? I don't know what reference do I need to make? I don't know, Roxy. Anyway, you guys
know.
Were back.
I don't know, Jim. I don't know.
You guys were backstage.
Okay, so
no
what
mercy.
Stories are you interested in, Jim? Everything that's going on with Facebook?
Tell me what's going on with you guys backstage at No Mercy at WWE.
Well, okay, the thing is with that, we got VIP backstage passes. It was kind of a cool thing. It was something that I got together. I didn't tell the girls that we had the VIP where we were going to go in the back. So we were all sitting at, I guess it was pre-dinner, and we were sitting there, and then all of a sudden I got the text where they're like, okay, we're ready for you. I go, come on, girls, we're going to go in the back. And I go, but we got to go now. So it was Lightning, Matilda, Daisy, Sunny. I let Sunny know a little bit, and because you know, I let her know. And so she wasn't surprised, but the other girls were like, what are we doing? Oh my gosh. And it was neat because all of a sudden we walk to our seats, and it was just kind of hectic because there was a lot of fans there. And I see it was Sunny. What was his name? It was the guy from Total Divas, the talent manager.
Oh my gosh. John,
he's on the Total Divas. He's at the ring waving at me. And I had John Cohn, who's a super nice guy. He's the referee for WWE. He comes walking up and he texted me to say, hey, you know, I'm going to walk you guys around. And so he was giving us a tour, John Cohn, the referee.
He was
that
so
was in
sweet.
The John Cena match with Roman Reigns. And he is the nicest guy, right, Sonny?
Yes, he's adorable. Just adorable.
He was great. And
almost
he loved
as adorable
us,
as you, Jim.
Oh, geez.
Huh?
I'm sure he's
said, almost
more.
As adorable as Jim.
So did any of the...
No,
did
no.
Any
there's
of
no
the,
comparison.
The women, oh, you're too sweet. Did any of the women
Jim,
talk to you?
So, Jim, we walked like kind of downstairs, and it was just kind of neat because when we first walked in, you had Kurt Angle sitting there. He was eating, so we didn't want to bother him too much. And then when we were, like, walking through, we were still with the guy from Total Divas, really nice guy. And then all of a sudden, Nia Jax comes running in, and she's hugging us, and we're telling her she's beautiful. She was so sweet. And then, am I saying it right? The Mrs. Wise came up and took a picture with us, and she was really sweet, too. So that was like our WWE thing. And then we were walked into a room in the back, and we were all just there, you know, laughing, having a good time. And they brought a few Make-A-Wish cute little kids that came in. And there was another girl there, and I'm looking at her. And I walked up to her. I go, is this you? And she goes, yeah. I go, Sherry Shepherd from The View? And she goes, yeah. She goes, oh, my God, it's the Glow Girls. She said she's a huge Glow fan. And she was so excited to meet us. And then there's a picture up there. There we are there. And then that's when the cast of the Glow Netflix came in. And, Sonny, you were surprised. We were all surprised when they came in. And thank God MTV – got the original reaction, the right when it happened, that moment of the Glow Netflix meeting the Glow Girls. And it was amazing.
That was awesome. I mean,
Alison Brie is saying, "I'm starstruck," to Facebook. So that was kind of a cool thing, you know, with all the controversy going over, you know, for the last year. And so it was, you know, it was kind of a nice thing.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear. Unfortunately, I've only got a couple of more minutes. I timed out the show. I set a deadline because I don't know what I'm doing. So I apologize. We'll have you guys back on again and we'll tell some more great stories. But I wanted to give you a minute or two. We mentioned it earlier, Sunny and I did. But go ahead and tell us about Afterglow.
Yeah, that's great. I was just happy just to get on and tell the story. So you got to hear from us, Jim.
Afterglow. Afterglow.
What about Afterglow? Well, you know, we're doing the cruise, Roxy. May 4th through 11th. Come on. You got to go on the cruise, www.afterglowfc.com. And I know, Jim, that somebody works in the cruise. Otherwise, you would be coming with us, right?
You never know.
There's still room for you, Jim, you and your wife.
Yes, you guys would have a blast. Come on.
But I see where you guys have been and what you're doing. But can you keep up with the Glow Girls?
Probably not. We already saw what happened at Las Vegas, so no. But I will say this, that my wife has brought it up. I'd be lying if I say that she hadn't, because she has. So there are seats still, there are cabins still available. You go to afterglow@sea.com.
Jim, just remember, happy wife, happy life.
Ain't that the
truth? Exactly. That's
happy.
Right. Yes.
Now, we're a very good team. We're like Hollywood and Vine.
Yeah, you guys are adorable. Or like Roxy and Sunny.
I'm watching. Hey. I'm like so jealous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. You're very sweet. So how can
so
fans...
yes, we have cabins available. Not forever, though, because since the Glow Girls have been out there, we've had a lot of interest, and there are some amazing things happening with Glow, and especially the Afterglow. There's a lot of Afterglow things happening. Everything happens Afterglow. Right, Sunny?
Oh, it does, and we are definitely afterglowing. We are very, very happy and very excited for the future endeavors that we're going to have and a lot of great surprises.
And we're including the fans. We want them to come up with us. They all know who they are. We love our fans. Or our family.
Family.
Yes.
So where can fans connect with you if they have not connected with you already?
Well, I'm on Facebook under Roxy Astor, and I have room available, unlike Sunny, who you have to wait in line for about a year until she gets rid of her non-friends.
I've been drop-kicking them out of the ring, okay?
Yeah, you have to, Sunny, okay? There's some real people that you need to have on there.
I know.
And
oh,
I'm on Twitter under Roxy Astor 1, and we also have Glow Wrestling 1 where we post a lot of things. Been slacking a little because I've been busy, but on Facebook. And then, like I said, you can go to the website, www.afterglowatsea, and you can see what's going on. But I have to say this, though, too. We have some cool events. We have a masquerade ball with the Glow Girls, and we also have first ever Afterglow Gong Show, which is going to be amazing.
That sounds like so much fun.
A lot of surprises on this cruise.
Okay. Afterglowatsea.com. Be sure to check that out.
Yeah.
Sunny, you're on Twitter too, aren't you?
I sure am. I'm under Sunny Glow. And then my Instagram is my Patricia Summerland, and my Facebook is Patricia Summerland. But I have two fan pages under Sunny the California Girl or Sunny Glow. You can find me. Just, what I say is Google me because I'm out there.
All right. Thank you, ladies. And we will check in with the Glow
Girls
next time.
Thank you, Jim, for having us.
Love you.
Thank
you. Talk to you
soon.
Love you, Jim.
Bye.
Sunny hugs and smiles, everyone. Bye.
Okay,
bye.
I think it worked, ladies. Thank you. Bye. We'll talk to you next time on the PW Torch Livecast.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Killer Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the SE Editor format of the Weight Killer Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the live cast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.